All right, welcome. Whether you're in the room, whether you're watching online, we are in week two, a series called Creed. And simply, that is a set of beliefs or aims which guide someone's actions. So that's what we've been talking about. And we've been talking about these places that the early church had that show up in what is our New Testament of our Bibles. They were the earliest days, and they were kind of recited. And you know this because Paul picks them up and he kind of puts them in parentheses, like, this was said from the beginning, and he uses it because he's talking about that very issue, and he goes back and said, but you've heard this. We've been saying this all the time. We've been saying this together. We've been learning this together, and now we're saying it. It was their earliest creed. So if you remember last week, this is when we learned that Christ died for our sins and was buried. He is risen from the dead and was seen. That was the big four. Now how does that change everything? Remember, they met early on Sunday morning, and they met together and prayed together. Learning about the resurrection, learning about Jesus, and then they were off to their jobs because Sunday used to be a work day. So we don't have it too bad, okay? For most of us, it's not a work day, and we have that time off, but for them it was. So they got up early, they worshiped together, they were together, and then they went off. And so imagine, here's the lesson. Now let's go out and apply it wherever you are, whether you're dealing with animals, whether you're dealing in whatever industry you're in, whatever your trade, whatever it is you're doing, you go out and live this out in your life. So today we're looking at another one. It's in Philippians chapter 2, probably more famous than the last one. We know that sometimes we'll call this a hymn. We just know it was said in the early church because Paul picks it up and he puts it in parentheses and he says, here's what we need to know. Now, Paul has a specific point when it comes to this, because he's got to get them to understand that there are times we need to lay ourselves down for the person next to us, okay? And he had to make a point of why should we do that? And he's going to make that point because Jesus did that, and ultimately he is Lord. Now that's a big word we're going to pick up this morning, and I'm going to help us understand why this is so important. But here's what I want you to think about right now. If you got a decision to make, whether something is right or wrong, whether you should participate in something or not, who do you listen to and where do you go? Where do you go? Who do you listen to? Who's going to give you advice? Where are you going to go to know, is this right or wrong? Is this what I'm supposed to do? And I want that question to kind of be around in the back of your mind for a moment this morning, and we're going to get to it. What we can do when those times come up. And we got to make a decision. And we got to decide what it is we're going to do. And is this what we should do or not what we should do? And how do we know that? So until then, here's what Paul is going to pick up. Say this is a creed of the early church. Okay, talking about Jesus. Who existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to grasp. Now, we'll explain this really, really simple here in a moment. So he is God. But he didn't have to go around telling everybody and proving to everybody that he was God. This is literally what Paul is talking about as part of this early creed. But he emptied himself by taking on the very form of a slave. Some of your translations will say servants, okay? But it's better talked about as slave. That's what he did, okay? He emptied himself. He gave up everything. And simply took on the form of a servant, of a slave, by looking like other men, by sharing in human nature. That's really important. That is why the book of Hebrews talks about, we have a high priest who knows what it is to be human, to walk in a broken, fallen world, to know when it's messed up and know it's hard. We have a Savior who stood at a graveside and wept. We have that. So you know, when you stand at a graveside and weep, that your Savior knows what you're going through. Jesus is not just somebody, well, I hope you understand. I hope you get what this is like. No, he does, because he's been there, and he's been through that, and Scripture tells us that. He shared in human nature. He was human. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Why even death on the cross? Because death on the cross was utterly shameful. It was the most shameful way to die. And we don't think about that anymore because we have crosses everywhere, right? We'll wear them around our neck. We'll put them in our churches. We have them everywhere. So we don't think about this. This is a point of shame in the Roman world because this is how you dealt with your enemies. This is how you dealt with anybody who didn't follow Roman rules. Okay, we'll take care of you, and here it is. And here's how we'll take care of you. So it was utter shame, and Jesus was willing to do all of that, even death on a cross. And as a result, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. This is really important. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. This is really important. You either bow now by choice, or you will bow someday. Everybody will. In heaven, and on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Not might be, not could be, is Lord. And that's going to be really important, and we're going to pick up today. To the glory of God the Father. This creed was all about the humility, obedience, and lordship of Jesus. And why? Because they had an issue, okay? They would, as other churches did, and was all we have a problem of doing, putting ourselves first. So when we come to make a decision, we're like, well, I don't know, what do I like? Just think about it. If we would have a meeting, we would have to decide, okay, we're going to replace the chairs. What color do I like? I'm voting for my color, right? And we get 50 different votes. I guess we put 50 different colors in. I mean, that's the way it goes, right? Because why? Well, I have my opinion, and I have what I want. See, and this was showing up in literally every church, including the church in Philippi. And he's like, what if you laid your stuff aside for a moment for the sake of the person next to you? What would that look like? And then it was, do you know Jesus did that? And he goes back and he reminds them of this creed. So they understand the humility, obedience, and lordship of Jesus. So it would help them understand, how do we live together? How do we serve together? How do we do church together? How are we part of this family together, even though at times we are going to totally disagree on different things? How are we going to do that? Because Jesus was willing to do all of that. He is Lord, so I'm going to submit to him. So here's what I want you to know about this creed, because it's really important. There's some really important things. That Jesus is God 100%. 100%. Now, he emptied himself of things in order to walk in a broken, fallen world. So he can be everywhere at once, okay? He surrendered so many of those different attributes of God in order to walk in human form and walk in a broken, fallen world. God doesn't get tired, but Jesus did, okay? So there were limitations that he put on himself being in human form, because he is man 100%. Why is that important? Because he understands what it's like to live here. We have a Savior who understands our life and understands what it's like living in this world. He refused. I love this phrase, and lots of other people have said it. I just like to borrow it. He refused to play the God card. Now, what is that? Well, in our vernacular, could you imagine Jesus? Let's see. I want to go to a football game. I'm just going to go up to the ticket booth and say, but I'm God. Oh, huh. Well, we'll give you this, right? That's what it means to play the God card, that I'm going to use that as my advantage to get whatever I want. I'm going to use that as my advantage to get whatever I want, to get people to give me whatever I want, to do whatever I want, and just say, but I'm God. Okay, now, right? Why not use that to the Pharisees all the time? But I'm God. Be quiet. Okay, I'm God. Stop arguing with me. I'm God. Knock it off. Okay, he could have used that all the time. But that's what it says he refused to do. He refused to do that, to consider that he was God, something to be grasped, something to be proved, something to be played to his own advantage. Man, if Jesus was willing to do that, what am I willing to lay down for the sake of a relationship with somebody else? What am I willing to not have my way, not be right, not just force myself to get my way on something for the sake of a relationship if Jesus did what he did? That's a big thought, okay? He was obedient to the plan. And the plan was what? You're going to die in their place. You're going to rise again for your salvation. I know, this is the most shameful way to die, but it's going to be done in order to save mankind. And anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what we're told over and over again. So that Jesus is the name above all names. Read into the book of Acts. Do you know what the early religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, when it got to after the resurrection, okay? This is all they wanted. Stop saying that name. That's literally what they said. Just stop. Listen. Do whatever you want. just stop saying that name. Right? Whatever you do, just stop. Please stop. Please stop. We're going to beat you. We're going to whip you. We're going to throw you in jail. And they said, what? We don't care. We don't care. That is the name above all names. So we're going to go with that name. And they said it over and over again. And whoever called upon the name of the Lord was saved. And in his name, so many incredible and awesome things were done. And then finally, it tells us that he is Lord. And that's what I want to kind of sit on this morning in this creed. Because if we're not careful, we just kind of glance over that. It just kind of comes out. Well, yeah, of course he's Lord. And I'm not sure we actually understand what that means or practically how to unpack that in our lives and what that looks like. So, and it's not our job to make Jesus Lord. But just so you can understand that, okay? That's not our job. He is Lord, okay? It's not our job to make him Lord, okay? He is Lord. He is the boss, master, chief, conductor of my life, okay? People have kind of unpacked this using different language because do we use the word Lord most of the time? No, we don't. Okay? So think boss, master, chief, conductor, the person in charge of my life. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord. Okay? But what I want to unpack for you today is what does this look like? I mean, we didn't say this all day. Okay? But what does it practically look like in our lives? So let's go back to our first question, right? If we had a decision to make, how do we make that decision? How do we make that decision on what we should do? Or as we said last week, we use this definition of sin just to give us a different way to think about it. The vandalizing of God's design for creation in fullness, in flourishing, delight, and wholeness. That's what we used just to kind of help us think a little bit differently because, again, sin's a word we just throw around all over the place. So, the vandalizing of God's design and creation in flourishing, delight, and wholeness. So, how do we know? What is flourishing, delight, and wholeness? You ever thought about that? Hey, that's a wonderful definition, but how in the world do we know what that is? How do we know what God says is flourishing? What God says is his delight? What God says is wholeness for us? How do we know what that is? How do we know what that is, okay? And because I'm telling you, we could just talk about all the different places that you and I tend to get our information on what is flourishing, what is delight, and what is wholeness. We get it from all sorts of different places. Sometimes it's books we read. Sometimes it's shows we watch. Sometimes it's commentary that we listen to. Hey, whatever our political party is, I think they know what flourishing, delight, and wholeness is, so I'm just going to go with whatever they say. I'm going to go with whatever my favorite cable news network says is flourishing, delight, and wholeness. It works. We have all these different sources that we go to, and if you and I were to sit down and I say, gosh, I saw an interesting Facebook post, which is probably like, oh no, I don't want to talk about that, right? We instantly get defensive. Because this is what we've learned in our culture. We can't have a conversation. We're just get defensive and argue about everything. What if we just had a conversation? And I'd sit down and I'd say, fascinating Facebook post. Real caused me to think, can I ask, what is your source for why you believe that? What would you say? You post something on social media. Maybe you shared something from somebody else. And it's on your page. And I'm like, that's really interesting. So that talks about flourishing, delight, and wholeness. So how do you know that's right? How do you know that's right? And most of us, come on, let's be honest, we hit share before that ever goes through our minds. Okay, we just do. We just do because they're on our team and I'm for that team and I'm for those people and I'm that. And that's what we do. And that's okay. Let's just think that through this morning. How do I know what is flourishing, delight, and wholeness? This is really important. What if we let Scripture teach us what God says is flourishing, delight, and wholeness? What if all along we have this huge advantage in 2022? We have this. We have this in so many different forms that's available to us all the time. All the time. Just take out your phone. Open your Bible app, and there you go, okay? And it'll let you search by words. You can search by all sorts of different stuff. You can Google search stuff. You can all sorts of stuff to find out what Scripture says is flourishing, delight, and wholeness from God. We can do that all the time. We can do that all the time. But do we actually do that? Like, when's the last time you had to decide on something? Let's go back to our beginning question. Whether it was right or wrong, and how did you decide? Was it flourishing, delight, and wholeness? How did you make that decision? So, let's try to walk through this today, okay? It's gossip. Because we'll just take the word gossip, right? Because nobody has that problem. So we're just going to take something nobody has the problem, okay? Just makes it easier, okay? Is gossip flourishing, delight, or wholeness? Yes, it happens all the time. But does that mean it's flourishing, delight, or wholeness? I don't know. How are we going to make that decision, okay? What if we opened up the Scriptures and we read this, okay? And just as they did not see it fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what should not be done. Now, there's a whole list that follows this, and most of us know this list for something else, okay? Do you know it says this? Wait a minute. Let's go back, okay? They did not see fit to acknowledge God, so God says, fine, do what you want to do. And one of the things they do when they just leave the path of God and do whatever it is they want to do, they become gossips. Although they fully know God's righteous decrees, those who practice such things deserve to die. Ouch. I'm just going to take a shot in the dark. God doesn't like gossip, okay? Right? Just read that. You're like, oh, God's pretty serious about it. He is pretty serious about that. That they not only do them, but they also approve of those who practice them. This is in Romans chapter 1. Look up yourself. We know Romans chapter 1, and we tend to one issue it, and it's got lots of stuff in it that says, hey, guess what? This is what happens. And God says all these things are not about flourishing, delight, and wholeness. So he says not only do we approve them, but we approve of those who do them, who practice them, and think it's okay ourselves. So, do you know that we find over a dozen references to gossip, both in the Old and New Testament, lots in Proverbs, several in Proverbs, okay, that God actually says this is a problem, you ought to stay away from it, okay, you ought to stay from it, okay, all speak to the vandalizing of God's design for creation, okay, it talks about that gossip, if you want to ruin a friendship, gossip, that's what it really talks about, you want to ruin a friendship, gossip, you want to ruin a relationship, gossip, want to ruin any type of relationship, yep, do that. Want to fracture a church, do that. Because we just have a tendency to talk about people and not to. Okay? And that's bad for two reasons, okay? Because sometimes gossip refers to lying, which we know is one of the commandments. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Okay? Because lying is just going to break and destroy relationships, ruin trust. It always does. But on top of that, it also talks in Scripture not just about the lie component, because you could be like, well, I don't lie. I absolutely know the truth, okay? That gossiping, okay, does not help the person, okay? Because that's what we're supposed to be about. Do you know that in the church, and there's this big word, okay, and I think we use them because, well, I don't know, that looks hard and I don't know what it means, okay? There's this big word called edification. Simply means I need to build others up, okay? I need to build others up. Last time I checked, gossip, really not a good way to do that, okay? Because, again, you're talking about the person. You're actually not talking to the person. To the person about, you know, hey, do you know this person's struggling? We pray for them. How can I pray for you? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? And I know we've created a world where you cannot disagree about anything because as soon as you do, well, we can't be friends anymore. I don't know when that started, but it is a horrible, horrible idea because it destroys the relationship that should be in a church family where we can help one another, we can encourage one another, and we can say, how can I encourage you? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Instead of just talking about people, because that's not helping people. That's not building somebody else up. That's not encouraging somebody. That's not getting somebody to a better place in their relationship with Jesus. Actually praying for them, encouraging them, saying, hey, whatever I can do to help, I'm all in. I'm all in. What can I help you? What can I do to encourage you? I am all in to do that. That's such a different approach to people. Okay? All of this, I'm telling you, all of these scriptures, look them up yourself. If you're like, well, I don't know. There's got to be an exception clause somewhere in scripture, right? Nope, there's not. There isn't. It's all the vandalizing. Okay? So, now gossip's an easy one. Okay? But what have you not allowed scripture and Jesus to inform about your life? This one's a little harder. This one's a little more convicting. Because I'm just telling you, and I fall into this trap as much as anybody else watching online or in the room. Okay? I fall into this trap as everybody else. Okay? We like to label people. Man, this is 2022 must be the label culture. Okay? Because I just label you and automatically think, well, you believe this, this, and this, and I don't care. Okay? And we run to our favorite commentators, our favorite people who give opinions, and we run to them, and we like their stuff. We label other people, and we have all this thing we think figured out, and we've never asked Jesus to allow Scripture to inform us about this. We just never done that, okay? Because maybe we just never thought we had to. I already know everything, okay? You know, I flipped on my favorite political commentator. He told me exactly what was going on, okay? She told me exactly what to believe. Check the box. Over, okay? And we never critically think through something with the mind of Christ. That's a really important thing that Paul talks about, is that we're given the mind of Christ so that we have discernment, so that we know. So we're not sitting around guessing on what is right and wrong. We're not guessing on what brings wholeness and flourishing. We actually have something, so we don't walk around just guessing. We have the mind of Christ to help critically think through things. And that's what we should be doing. Encouraging one another, talking about different things, asking questions. When's the last time you asked a question to somebody? Hey, man, I don't know what to think about this issue. Have any wisdom and know of any scripture? There's lots of people. I hope you understand that. You can always ask me that, okay? Doesn't mean you're going to get a sermon. Okay, back in an email or a text, okay? I'll give you scriptures to look up, scriptures to go to. You don't have to go to me if that's just too intimidating. I don't know why, okay? But if that's too intimidating, you don't have to go to me. You can go to other individuals in this church. We have elders in this church. You can go to them and ask them, hey, what about this? Maybe you're like, I don't know, going to any guy is intimidating. Okay, go to someone like him, Nita, Duane, Rose. Sandy, go to someone then that you know and ask them, hey, got some wisdom? I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out, okay? I'm trying to figure this out. There are people who want to help you do that. But most of the time, we just don't do that. Maybe we think, oh, I don't know. What if someone's going to tell me I've been doing it wrong? That's not the point. Not the point is to tell you you're wrong. Not the point. The point is to help you understand what is flourishing, what is delight, and what is wholeness? Because that's the way God wants us to live. One of the verses we took when we were rebuilding everything for Thrive was a verse that I think has been so misused at times that I wanted to kind of reclaim it, and that's John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come. Jesus is like, yeah, that's just the way. Steal, kill, destroy. No. I'm going to tell you why I came. That you would have life. Would have it abundantly. Let me tell you what does that mean. Oh, Jesus is going to help me win the lottery. Because that will just fix everything in my life. And if win the lottery, fix everything. Then I get my big house, get rid of my debt. That'd be awesome. Okay? That's not what that verse means. And there's way too many people preaching that, sitting in their mansions, because too many people are watching them. Can I get on my socks for a moment? Too many people watching them at 3 a.m, sending them money in the mail. Stop it. Okay? Just stop it. Okay? So they can buy their jets and they can fly around and see, this is what God wants you to have. No, forget that. That verse has been so robbed by people. So been robbed by individuals. He came for flourishing, delight, and wholeness to restore what had been taken by sin, that we would bring God's kingdom here. And that we would see what that looks like lived out. that we would watch each other flourish and have wholeness and be in God's delight. That's what that is all about. May we get back to that and get back to what God has said so that we would just be about that. What is wholeness, delight, what is flourishing? That be about that, because I know God has something better for me. Better than a political party, better than being right, better than being on a side, better than having a label, being whole and flourishing and in the delight of God by living his way. That's what it looks like that he is Lord. So, just so you know, at the end of these, when I kind of wrap them up, I'm not things, okay? So I look for people who have tried to do just that, because let's just be honest, a creed with like 6 verses, that's like too long for us, okay? We need something to condense it and to help us. So just like last week, we talked about Christ died for our sins and was buried. He rose from the dead and rose from the dead and was seen. That just succinctly put that together. The same thing is true this morning, that Jesus is God, Savior, Lord. And if he is that, worship, trust, and obey him. That's simply what it is. So, like last week, I'm asking you to stand up. If you're watching online, you can join us by saying this. So I'm going to ask you to stand up, and then we're going to worship him together this morning. And we are going to say this together. We're going to pretend it's 2,000 years ago, okay? It is just past, all right? A few 10 years past the resurrection, and we're gathering on a Sunday just as the early church did. And this was a creed that they said together, and then we're going to pray and worship together. Okay, ready for this? Here we go. Jesus is God, Savior, Lord. Worship, trust, and obey him. Father, I pray that we would do that. You so want for our good. And Father, we wreck things in our lives because we aren't after wholeness, delight, and flourishing. It's not after those things. And Father, forgive us all for labeling people and only following our labels. Forgive us for only finding out what is wholeness, delight, and flourishing from our side, our news network, our political commentators. And all the time, we have missed what is wholeness, delight, and flourishing. We've missed it. And who's suffering is us. Because we are missing out on wholeness, delight, and flourishing, or life to the full that you came to bring. So, Father, we're going to ask you to do something today that I know is really scary. We're going to ask you to open our eyes to places we've just gone along with what somebody else told us. We never opened your word. May we be willing to ask, because that's going to take courage. May we be willing to admit we don't know everything. May we be willing to seek things out. And would you show us those things, that we would be about what is delight and wholeness and flourishing, showing that for us, you are Lord. We know everybody will bow someday. We bow now. That you are Lord. And we prove that by following your will for wholeness, delight, and flourishing. So help us, lead us, guide us, direct us as we sing together this morning. Remind us of all of that we would worship, trust, and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.